Continuing Helen Wright's book, Made Whole Through Our Marriage to God.
Being defeated is temporary. Giving up is what makes it permanent. We must get the little mortal egotistical self out of the way. The egotist must come down and learn, in humility, that God never made evil. An egotist, Mrs. Eddy says, is one who talks much about himself. The only nice thing about an egotist is that he doesn't talk about other people. In treatment, get self out of the way. In scientific prayer, it is God, our true divine mind, that works, and not our mortal sense of ourself. So our limitations or weaknesses are of no account. Our treatment will be just getting ourself out of the way. I can of mine own self do nothing. We do not have to push every hot button to make truth work. Let the divine mind, our real mind, do the work. This means let the thinking that leads to knowing do the work. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Such knowing is done with the divine mind, our real mind, the ever-present good we call God. It simply means saying no to error and abiding steadfastly in what science and health has taught. Emma C. Shipman, an early student of Mrs. Eddy, wrote, quote, "The requirements for practicing this science are not superficial. They must reach to the depths of one's nature and exact the final destruction of all that is not Christian, not based on divine principle. The first necessity is honesty, absolute integrity of thought. There are two ways in which one must know himself. He must be able to recognize his faults, weaknesses, and sins. He must also comprehend in some degree the actuality of his true being as the perfect expression of divine mind. This knowledge of himself enables one to overcome human weaknesses and manifest in their stead the qualities of God. Most important, when the leopard of animal magnetism leaps from the bag, the practitioner must instantly deny its lies about our ever-present, all-harmonious God-being, and declare the truth concerning the lie. Physician, heal thyself, said Scripture. Mrs. Eddy taught that a scientific denial and a scientific affirmation are really the same thing. But we should never leave a denial without affirmation. It is the realization of truth that heals. If we do not deny error, we're apt to put ourselves to sleep. It is the realization of infinite good's allness and the utter unreality of error that heals. Stop thinking about the difficulty and think about infinite good, God, instead. When sorrow and rejection are daily companions and the cross seems the centerpiece of daily life, look beyond the cross, see the crown, and increasingly lay hold on it. To see the infinite good that is forever in front of us requires a constant struggle. Therefore, go over the seven synonyms for God: mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And know they constitute your true God-being. Realize that truth, your manhood, is always held in the arms of love, your womanhood. Youth needs help in overcoming. Tuning out error is becoming harder and harder these days, especially for young people. They worry about jobs. Their parents entered a job market still flush with semi-skilled jobs, paying decent wages. Most of those jobs no longer exist. We are approaching the period when it shall be realized that man is not made to till the soil, the so-called material channel for supply. Through Christian Science we are learning salvation is a gift and not a labor. No longer shall it be said, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread." Through the second coming of the Christ, that curse on man is ending. But much Christly work remains to be done. Our youth and our schools today need our metaphysical help. In the days when I, the author, went to school, drugs weren't in evidence. Rules were obeyed. About the most serious school infractions were talking and chewing gum. But today, in the tidal wave of crime and immorality presently sweeping our land, the most serious problem seems to be an intensely negative spirit, especially among today's youth. A plague of pessimism that has infected millions of young Americans. It is egged on by violence in movies and television programs that dredge up new perversions or human tragedies. Guns in schools, gang violence, the sinister traps of skyrocketing teenage pregnancy and drug addiction, and triumphantly display them all for Americans to see and savor. Omnipresent in the media are frightening warnings about drugs, sex, pornography, kidnapping, alcohol abuse, etc., on and on, focusing on the rapid growth and increasing violence of juvenile crime. If recent trends continue, ours may be the first society in history that has every right to fear its own children. Television today provides saturation coverage of each new menace and cultural depravity. No wonder, then, that even the healthiest teens adopt the protective armor of cool cynicism, of not letting anything get to you, in response to the media's message, which encourages both self-pity and fear. In the face of surroundings beset by bleak poverty, despair, and hopelessness, the only alternative for some may be the heart-rending example of the little boy covered with bumps, scrapes, and bruises. Told to pray, he knelt and said, "Thank you, God, for the places that don't hurt." With neglect on the rise and children treated like Kleenex by abusive parents and ignorant courts, we are going to lose our cities and a whole new generation unless mothers, who are the strongest educators, can be taught how to teach goodness. There must be an epochal changing of the guard. Much can be done to head off the crime wave predicted for the future, if we act. Our young people especially need what only Christian Science can give to shepherd them through the so-called perilous teens. Be positive about teens. They need advocates, not critics. We need daily to include all teenagers, even preteens, in our prayers and work for mankind. If we are parents, we need to spend time teaching our children the truth. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22. Train youth to see they have dominion over every lying suggestion that evil puts forth. Error comes to you for life, Mrs. Eddy said, and you give it all the life it has. Children need to know this great truth. We cannot stand passively by and ignore their suffering. We must courageously meet and destroy every error with truth. In this great battle, it is not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog that counts. Strength is fueled by love. Because our union with infinite good gives us the ultimate weapon, we can meet all obstacles. We gain in happiness and heal others when we know everyone we meet needs our knowing what is right about them. When we put them in the kingdom of God and keep them there, everyone we meet needs our love and affection. When we need faith to conquer error, Christian Science gives us an extraordinary inner strength, a strength fueled by love, by the love that in reality is our true being. The power to bring joy to others is alive and well in all of us. How can we best tap that power? We don't need to leave that question to the psychologists. We only need to think of the pleasure an unexpected compliment gives us. We know that when people are kind to us, it brightens our whole day, and we are better at everything we do. Our kindness to others uplifts us as well. It's like a two-edged sword that cuts both ways. As we wield it, both we and those we aid are helped Godward. Each one of us is incredibly unique. There is no one else like you. I must see that you have something to give me that I could not get in any other way. If we see each other as God in disguise, as the mind and manifestation of infinite good, we will treat each other accordingly. It may be tempting to shrug off the pain around us. Two psychiatrists met in their 20th college reunion. One was vibrant, while the other looked withered and worried. "So what is your secret?" the older-looking psychiatrist asked. "Listening to other people's problems every day, all day long, for years on end, has made an old man of me." "So," replies the younger-looking one, "who listens?" Fortunately, most psychologists are deeply compassionate people who listen carefully. Turning away, not listening, only makes the situation worse. We need to turn away from error, not from each other. We must turn to each other positively by affirming the good and true in the world and each other. All a person who is hurting may need from us is the time, the attention, and the love it takes to listen. Work from the principle, not the problem. In Christian Science, we work out from God, our real mind. We work from the principle and not from the problem. Ephesians 4:6 speaks of one God, mind, who is in you all. If we maintain our conscious union with God, our marriage to infinite good, through realization that I and the Father mind are one, we open the way for the activity of God to flow out of us and also to flow into us through anyone and everyone receptive and responsive to the God impulse. Here Mrs. Eddy's words can help us. Quote, "Work, work, work, watch and pray," unquote. That is our job. It doesn't matter how menial or grandiose that work is. Quote, "There are no menial jobs, only menial attitudes." On page 100 in Miscellaneous Writings we are told, "Pure humanity, friendship, home, the interchange of love, bring to earth a foretaste of heaven. Who remembers that patience, forgiveness, abiding faith, and affection are the symptoms by which our Father indicates the different stages of man's recovery from sin and his entrance into science? Our contact with a person who can play a part in the unfolding of our unity with God is our contact with God. Quote, "For since the beginning of the world men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him." But through the teachings of Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy, God's two witnesses, we can perceive, hear, and see the truth about ourselves. As early as 384, 322 B.C., a most remarkable man named Aristotle wrote, "As the tree is drawn by its inherent nature, power, and purposes toward the light, so the world is drawn by its inherent nature, power, and purposes, which are God. God is not the creator of a material world, but its energizing form. He moves it not from behind, but as an inner direction or goal, as something beloved moves the lover. God is pure thought, rational soul, contemplating itself in the eternal forms that constitute at once the essence of the world and God." Unquote. Aristotle seems to have glimpsed our self-completeness in God, a self-completeness made manifest as the harmony and abundance of all we see as we realize Christ's truth is our real mind and love is our only nature. All beings hunger for love. There is not a person on earth who needs anything but love. Let's throw down the gauntlet to all that is unloving, ungodlike. Are there walls or boundaries to the love we express? Knock them down. Mrs. Eddy did. For example, she notes, "Beasts as well as men express mind as their origin, and there are many records of her healing them. The greatest gift in the world comes not with price tags, but with love. In my last book, I mentioned that my husband and I have always been involved in animal welfare work, and I've been happy to hear from people who gratefully commented on this work for all animals. Jesus and the Fallen Mule. The world is a better place for animals today than it was in the time of Jesus. An old Coptic fragment published by Julius Buckmer in 1903 describes our Lord and his disciples walking in the country. There they found a mule, fallen under its burden, while its master was still beating it. Quote, "And Jesus said, Man, why dost thou beat thy animal? See thou not that it is too weak for its burden?" Unquote. But the man answered and said, "What is that to thee? I can beat it as much as I please, since it is my property." But the Lord said, "Do you not see how it bleeds? And hear you not how it laments and cries?" The disciples said, "Nay, Lord, we hear not that it laments and cries." And the Lord was sad and exclaimed, "Woe to you, that you hear not how it cries to the Creator in heaven and cries for mercy. But three times woe to him of whom it complains and cries in its distress." And the Lord came forth and touched the animal, and it arose, and its wounds were healed. And Jesus said to the man, "Now go, and beat it no more, that you also may find mercy." For it has been said that kindness is more important than wisdom, and that recognition of this is the beginning of wisdom. It's heartening to notice that most people have stopped seeing animals as things, and more often treat them as living beings, even according them the care one would give a beloved child. Love one another, that all may be one. Under the heading of Soaring Inspirations, Mrs. Eddy writes, "Animals and mortals metaphorically present the gradation of mortal thought, rising in the scale of thought, taking form in masculine, feminine, or neuter gender. Someday love will have so completely overcome cruelty and fear that all the creatures will love and help us, and we will love and help them. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us." As we diligently pursue understanding, let it never be at the expense of compassion. In infinite good, love is never separated from truth, but all too often on the human plane, we find the letter pursued at the expense of the spirit. The result can be tragic and is not Christian Science. Misguided Christian Scientists who fail to heal their children and who refuse to call the doctor when a child is seriously ill have done a great disservice to the Christian Science movement. To clarify, I will repeat what I wrote on pages 47 to 49 of Humanity's Divinity, under the headings "Compassion Must Temper Our Zeal" and "A Place for Temporary Means." There is no place in love for the arrogance shown by those in power and authority who penalize desperate Christian Scientists for seeking temporary help. It totally contradicts Mary Baker Eddy's teaching. But for some reason, certain church members feel any help from the medical establishment is no less dangerous than the threat of a nuclear bomb. It is particularly deplorable when seriously ill children are involved, depending on Christian Science practitioners who clearly do not have the understanding necessary to meet the case. A lapse of judgment can leave in its wake serious, even fatal consequences. Our leader explicitly states, quote, "Christian Scientists are harmless citizens that do not kill people either by their practice or by preventing the early employment of an MD." Unquote. But some Christian Scientists have somehow fallen into the false notion that resorting to medical aid, when no help is obtained from a Christian Science practitioner, is similar to making a deal with the devil, to be repudiated as soon as possible. Science and Health states plainly, quote, If Christian scientists ever fail to receive aid from other scientists, God will still guide them into the right use of temporary and eternal means. In Christian Healing, page 14, we read, "If you employ a medical practitioner, be sure he is a learned man and skillful. In proportion as a physician is enlightened and liberal, he is equipped with truth, and his efforts are salutary." In the face of this compassionate advice and admonition from our leader, those in the seat of great authority, meaning all who withhold temporary help, especially in the case of children, when a practitioner is unable to meet the case, are committing a mental crime. It is a grave misconception that Christian scientists are forbidden to seek medical care. Much harm started with the ecclesiastical authorities in Boston, who, contrary to our leader's instructions, punished Christian Science teachers and practitioners they caught seeking medical help. This Neanderthal ecclesiastical dictum has given the enemies of Christian Science a handle to scramble and haggle over every fault and trespass as their juggernaut moves forward in a last-ditch effort to harm Christian Science. The enemies of Christian Science are trying to make it look to all the world that trusting God's healing power is eerie, suspicious, sinister, menacing. Never do these enemies of Christian Science mention the millions of children lost under medical care or the millions of cases healed in Christian Science. Mrs. Eddy was ever practical. In the case of childbirth, Mrs. Eddy is reported to have said, "Having a baby is a very human, mortal affair. Why try to squeeze the doctor out?" To attempt the absolute demonstration of truth in its intermediate stage is to delay its ultimatum in the minds of men. Hence the impracticability of undertaking to prove the entire power of the infinite to finite thought, and before your own thought has grasped all that is practical, and has demonstrated what you know is true of the divine principle which governs. A wise Christian scientist remembers that saying of our great exemplar, "War not with 10,000 against 20,000," unquote. We are at the beginning of our journey in belief, not the end. While Christian Science is equal to any emergency, the Christian scientist may not be. Acknowledging God's omnipresence. As we go forth seeking the healing understanding of our oneness with infinite good, let us carry love as our lantern. From the instinctive loyalty of animals to the innocent affection of children, to the illumined love demonstrated by our leader, love lights the path by which we go forth from unreality to reality, bringing error more and more under siege as humanity's divinity comes to light. Love shows us perfection is ours now. In this perfection of being, there shall be time no longer. We do not have to bring good into being. We only have to acknowledge its omnipresence. We never have to heal anything in a material universe. We only have to get rid of the material sense of the universe. Then, as someone said, we will have life everlastingly. Love brings us into right relationship with our principle. The only relationship numbers have with each other is through their principle, and so it is with man. Man's relationship is only with his principle. Quote, "As the reflection of yourself, as man, as that which is God made visible, appears in the mirror, so man, being spiritual, is the reflection of God, infinite good. Your reflection in the mirror has no relationship with other reflections. Can your real mind, the mind that is love, ever see anything but its own reflection? No, because that is all that is. When a mathematician corrects a mathematical error, it is not his will that makes the correction. It is the mathematical truth he knows and applies. The power of correction is inherent in the mathematical truth, not in the will of the mathematician. By knowing the truth, we reflect the truth, and bring it into action in our consciousness as our consciousness. This is why changing our consciousness changes our body. As we continue to learn, we find that, quote, sorrow is the harbinger of joy. Mortal throes of anguish forward the birth of immortal being, but divine science is at work and wipes away all tears. Only hypnotic suggestion and thousands of years of false education hide this great spiritual fact from us. But today, in Christian Science, the reality of all things is being brought to light. The second coming of the Christ is rousing us out of the hypnotism of the Adam dream, in which we have slumbered so long. Chapter 4. Divine Love is My Shepherd. Awakening from the Adam dream. What must we do to wake up? How do we follow Jesus, who made himself the Son of God? How do we enter into the divine marriage? Capital M, marriage. What must Mary Baker Eddy's awesome revelation in the second coming of the Christ, in the little book, open in the hand of the angel, teach us? It must teach us the God character, how to be the divine love, how to become aware that the mind that is love is our real mind. This love, then, becomes our shepherd, as we realize it is our own real mind that has all power. Having the mind that is God as our mind, we shall not want for health, happiness, wholeness. We shall not want for intelligence, ability, the will, vitality, vigor, or the spiritual energy to move forward. We shall not want for the enthusiasm to do what needs to be done. The word enthusiasm comes from the Greek and means God within. That God within is abiding love, the proper love of our divine self, and from that, love of others. When the carnal mind's suppositional siege seems to persist mercilessly, we shall not want for the ability to impersonalize error, to see it as a lie about God, the all-knowing mind that is our real mind. We will be alive, awake, aware to be our own best friend, and not fall into the trap of being our own worst enemy. Our work, in wooing the unchurched into our mighty fortress, is to do and illustrate, teach and practice, all that will impersonalize God, man, and woman. I shall not want means more than being able to pony up for the children's college education. It means much more than timely help when we can't put more spending on our credit cards because we've maxed out our cash advances. It means, really, I shall not want for needed intelligence, for ability to perform that which is given me to do. I shall not want for health, harmony, wholeness, joy, peace, trust in good, or any other God quality. Resolving things into thoughts. We must see and become aware of our divine principle, love. We are this divine principle, and this divine principle mind reflects itself in ideas. Whatever concept we hold in mind, we will bring out. This is why it's important to learn the truth about ourselves and about all humanity. Mrs. Eddy tells us, evil has no reality. It is neither person, place, nor thing, unquote. It is essential here to understand that evil does not refer just to bad or unpleasant conditions. Our leader often uses the words evil and matter as synonymous, and she makes no distinction between pleasurable and painful matter. Both are evil, unreal. Many of us have not yet learned that the apple from the tree of knowledge is both pleasurably and painfully evil. Good matter is still the chief of the world's gods. In Christian Science, we must see that good material conditions are no more real than bad material conditions. Both must be seen as nothing. But good matter is more subtle and harder to turn away from than evil matter. Denial of the claims of matter requires discipline and is a great step toward the joys of spirit, toward human freedom, and the final triumph over the body. Discipline and freedom go hand in hand. By denying the existence of matter, we can destroy the belief in material conditions. But the, quote, existence of matter, unquote, cannot be denied until we have been taught the concept of spiritual substance. Mind alone is substance. Matter held as substance is illusion. Matter must be held as shadow that always points to something real. We first have to see that, quote, metaphysics resolves things into thoughts and exchanges the objects of sense for the ideas of soul. The trail winding heavenward. Right, godlike thoughts are true substance, spiritual substance. As we prime the pump with these true thoughts and pipe Christ-like music into our campaign to think love, be nothing but love, we will find there is only God to meet me on the trail that winds heavenward. There is only good to know. There is truth in the old saying, what lies behind us and what lies before us is not as important as what lies within us. Within us should lie desire to become godlike. In the search for the Holy Grail for godlikeness, luck is not chance, it's toil. It comes as we avoid resentment and self-pity and persistently get up one more time after being knocked down. As we work to bring ourselves into accord with our God-being, we will do well to remember that perseverance is the hard work you do after you get tired of doing the hard work. Today's greatest labor-saving device is tomorrow. This is why mañana is often the busiest day of the week. It's easy to sit up and take notice. What's difficult is to get up and take action. Aristotle declared, moral excellence comes about as a result of habit. We become just by doing just acts, temperate by doing temperate acts, brave by doing brave acts, unquote. He knew the best things in life aren't things that we can't become what we need to be by remaining what we are. For infinite progression is concrete being. Giving love makes us powerful as well as happy. Grateful acceptance of love heals us. To love and be loved is to feel the sun from both sides. There is no guilt that enough love will not bridge, no pain that enough love cannot soothe. When we put on the whole armor of God, we know the truth not only for ourselves, but for all mankind. The rising tide of our consciousness lifts all ships. When we know the truth, we no longer sentence ourselves to the dark little dungeon of the ego. There can be no hate or hurt feelings anywhere when we realize the omnipresence of infinite good and become aware that our own real mind is love. When we behold in the mirror of science what we really are, we can love ourselves and thereby love another. Then our simple presence can make others happy. We will seek happiness for others and find it for ourselves also. For the hand that gives gathers. Being kind, we will not yawn or fall asleep when others are talking to us. And we will know when well-timed silence is the most meaningful expression. We will not be like the man the Apostle James speaks of, who, looking into a mirror and beholding what manner of man he is, straightway forgets. We will find it easy to follow James' admonition, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. A state of thought that is love itself. We see God working in the most unusual places. Being part of God's kingdom means giving people what they need. Just be there. Today, give others your friendship. Let them rest in your love and care. Work for a little more grace, a motive made pure, a few truths tenderly told, a heart softened, a character subdued, a life consecrated. For this would make manifest the movement of body and soul in accord with God. Unquote. Just be love. In the high state of thought that is love itself, I shall not want for a loving ear to listen. Rather than giving advice to someone in emotional pain, I will listen. I will just be there to love and serve. I shall not want for words to express the ideas that are needed to awaken and lead me and all mankind out of the Adam dream. I shall not want for the good manners to make people feel good about themselves. As you and I become aware of the divine love that we already are, because in reality we are one with infinite love, we shall not want for the heavenly harmony, the peace, the joy, or the consecration necessary to realize and become aware of this love. Love is our present mind and consciousness, hidden only by hypnotism and by eons of false education. As you and I learn and gain this divine love through mighty wrestling with hypnotic suggestion, as Jacob, when alone, wrestled with error, it becomes the shepherd that maketh us to lie down in green pastures and leadeth us beside the still waters of the immeasurable sea of possibilities where unfathomable mind is expressed. As the first light of dawn stretches across mortal mind's darkness and a window of opportunity appears, let us not pull down the shade. Open up to let in the love that restoreth spiritual sense. Our spiritual sense is restored as we wed ourselves to the message of the little book, open in the hand of the mighty angel. The mighty angel is the God mind of Mary Baker Eddy, who wrote the little book. By loving truth and seeking first the kingdom of God, we will restore our recognition of what we divinely are, and find this kingdom of God within our own consciousness. The love that is I, in reality am, leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Mary Baker Eddy saw that the only thing that mattered was gaining the God character. That is why she first called her great discovery moral science. The pearl of great price. Peace, love, joy, based on our oneness with infinite good, constitute the pearl of great price. We have peace, love, joy, because we are conscious of our oneness with infinite good. We must strive to gain this desirable state of thought, even if it means parting with everything else we have, if necessary. In this seemingly material world, we do not come naturally by spiritual riches, spiritual education, any more than we come naturally by mathematical or musical education. The true riches have to be learned. Mary Baker Eddy said, "Our land of Canaan lies before us. Let us go in and possess the land and claim every godlike quality. Let us claim our infinite, harmonious, Christ-expressing selfhood. Acknowledge it. Accept it. No one else can do it for us. Let us feel it. How can we have dominion over the whole earth unless we feel that the whole earth is ours? We can feel that the whole earth is ours by taking seriously the statement that God is individual mind, your real mind. Life is mind, the omnipresence of infinite good. Therefore, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for love is with me." For those who have lost the one dearest to them, quote, "There is no death, although we grieve when beautiful familiar forms that we have learned to love are torn from our embracing arms. They are not dead. They have but passed beyond the mists that bind us here into a new and larger life of that serene atmosphere. They have but dropped their robe of clay to put their shining armor on. They have not wandered far away. They are not lost or gone. Ever near us, though unseen, their dear immortal spirits tread. For all the boundless universe's life, there are no dead. John McCrae. Love is with me because in reality I am that love. The one mind that is love is my real mind. Only love can clear my sight and enable me to see correctly. Mrs. Eddy speaks of love bruised and bleeding, yet mounting to the throne of glory in purity and peace over the steps of uplifted humanity. To uplift humanity by helping even one individual understand who he is and what he is the greatest thing in the world. Make him realize that he is God in disguise. He has to be, since God is all. As he learns the system to which Mrs. Eddy reduced divine metaphysics in science, he will demonstrate God's allness. The cardinal point of difference. What is the cardinal point of difference in Mrs. Eddy's metaphysical system? Quote, "This, by knowing the unreality of sin, disease, and death, you demonstrate the allness of God, of your real mind. This difference wholly separates my system from all others. The reality of these so-called material existences I deny, because they are not to be found in God, infinite good, our real mind." Unquote. Since consciousness outpictures itself, if we want something better than what we have, we must change our consciousness. Our mind is the only power. We must learn what is true about us. Quote, "Our cross is our own consciousness of evil." Unquote. As Bicknell Young once said, quote, "It is on this cross that we have nailed ourselves all these years. We crucify ourselves, and at the same time call to be taken down from the cross. We must disregard the appearance, take our attention away from the appearance, place attention on God, infinite good, and shout for joy that we have learned that only good is real. You and I are standing on holy ground. Nothing is impossible to you once you realize that your own mind is God, that the kingdom of heaven is within you." The warfare with oneself is grand, Mrs. Eddy tells us. Put it into high gear. Exercise your dynamic authority. It will drive every difficulty right out of your consciousness. Healed here and now. As we overcome the mortal self and put on the God character, we find ourselves healed and able to heal others. St. John declares, "And the Word was made flesh." As we study and learn, our understanding manifests itself in better seeing, better hearing, better health, and greater happiness. What value would all our study and learning be if it didn't manifest itself in better human conditions and happiness? This better tangible manifestation is the Word made flesh. Wholeness of body and mind and the ability to heal others are natural consequences of the understanding of Christian Science. Often, though, we seem to turn our backs on these gifts. All good is forever here and now in Christian Science, and promptness in handling any claim of error, seeing it as nothing, is especially important. Quote, "In the figurative transmission from the divine thoughts to the human, diligence, promptness, and perseverance carry the baggage of stern resolve and keep pace with highest purpose." Unquote.